God has answered that prayer. Another prayer that's answered, part of this is, it is answered. The rest of it is partly through faith. But the baby that we do have had been restless and awake, for the most part, from like 2 to 7 in the morning, from 2 a.m., you know what I'm talking about? To 7 a.m. And she was restless and not really sleeping, and that meant that I didn't get very much sleep, and my wife got even less than I did. And this is somewhat comical. She came up to me a few days ago and said, "Hey, when your wife does that, you pay attention. Hey, you're the pastor of this home." So my ears perked up. She goes, "Where's your anointing oil?" So we went and got my anointing oil. We called all our kids into the room, and we laid our hands on this little baby and anointed her with oil and prayed for her that she would sleep. And that night, instead of being restless for 5 hours, she slept for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, ate or woke up, and did that two or three different times. And this, I think, is the third night that she has slept with waking up for a feeding, but she slept for 6 to 9 hours by waking up. Praise the Lord for that, you know. And I know it sounds funny, but I want to tell you something, is not only did that prayer get answered, and that helps a family, but look at the opportunity that we have to train our own children. And listen, that's what it means to really be genuine and call on God. So we're just like you, and we need God to be at work as he does that. Today is a very special day. Hopefully you have these notes for you, and some of these blanks we're going to actually fill in on this front page. And on the back, I want you to just turn the back over for a second. It's called Putting It Into Action. We'll talk about this. And there are boxes that you can check, and I prefer that you not check them until we get to this point in the service. Above each of the set of boxes are a couple of blanks. And maybe God is going to speak to you through his Holy Spirit on a way that you can respond to today's message. And that's what you would write in for yourself. It's something that we have not predetermined. So if God really speaks to you and you know that you need to respond in an area, turn it over and write it down, and you can write it down right there. But that's how we're going to use those notes today. The message today is called Walk the Walk. And this particular message has been designed and placed for about the last few months, but we didn't know what it was going to look like. Really, it's a response that we are doing to the last 6 weeks of sermons, including our guest, Alton Garrison. God has been speaking to our church, and I wanted to set an entire Sunday aside to respond. We are people that do what the Word of God says. It's not just about believing it in our mind, but it's about practicing what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do with our feet. We're people of action. If you're at Pathway Church, then you want to be where the action is, because we do what God leads us to do to the best of our ability. So we organized an entire Sunday based on responding to what God has been saying. So we're going to kind of seal the deal today. This is a day of response. Let's just kind of picture like the last 6 weeks was a six-point sermon, and we preached a point every week, and today is like the altar call. We're going to respond today. So I speak into your life and openness. I've prayed for you that you would open your heart to respond to the Lord. So as I navigate through the scriptures today and respond, I want you to think in terms of, I've heard the message. I've heard what's going to happen. Lord, what are you saying to me? What can I do to respond as a child of God? Now, I don't know if you're like this, but I have had the opportunity to take a few trips recently and drive in my car. And over the past probably year and a half or so, I've taken a lot of car trips. Recently, I was driving home just a couple weekends ago from St. Louis, Missouri. And I was driving home, and I was alone, and it was at night. And I made it from St. Louis to Terre Haute, Indiana. You know where Terre Haute, Indiana is? And I was going to get home. I was trying to plan my stops from there to Columbus and what I was going to do. But in Terre Haute, I stopped. I went to the restroom. I went and got a hamburger, and I got my cup of coffee, and I was ready to go. And I ended up, I was tired. I was driving. It seemed long. I ended up driving late at night all the way from Terre Haute to Columbus without stopping, just because the momentum was going. but I was tired. And during that time, I had gotten some books on CD from the library, and I was listening to books on CD, and then I had an iPod, and I was playing music, and this time I turned it all off, and I was praying out loud, and then I could set my phone on my dash and put on a speakerphone, and I had a conversation with a friend of mine for 45 minutes, and I spent some time trying to stay awake, and I was on this long car trip. Well, you know, long car trips, I don't know, maybe you're like me, you've taken long car trips before. I was on the way about a year or so ago, I was on the way to Orlando, Florida, and I got up early in the morning, our family left super early, and I thought, I'm going to drive as long as either I will run out of gas or coffee. Whatever happens first, that's when I'm going to stop. And I would take my cup of coffee and sip it just a little bit, because I didn't want to have to stop and use the restroom. We left like before 4 in the morning, you know, family, all the kids, just get in the car, put on your pajamas, we'll get. Well, I made it to Wytheville, Virginia before I had to stop, which is about 5 hours, and my gas and my coffee ran out at the same time, so I had to stop. But I was alone, I was tired, I really couldn't play music, and all of that was happening. I say all of that to say, you know, all of us have been on journeys where we've kind of set things in order, and we've been tired. We've been alone. We've had a plan. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes in our journeys, we run into trouble. With the time I was driving to Orlando, our car had some car trouble in Jacksonville. We broke down. It caused a good delay in our plans for a couple of hours, and that just happens sometimes. You know, in the journey that we call life, sometimes we feel tired, don't we? Sometimes in the journey of life, we feel alone or in trouble, or we face obstacles like we break down in Jacksonville. Sometimes we break down in our lives. The journey of life sometimes is hard and difficult, and things come about and happen that we don't even see. Now, I thought about that picture of being on a journey, and I thought about Pathway Church. You know, Pathway Church, I don't know why that mic is doing that, but it's not the guys in the back. They've done a good job. So if you hear that bumbling, don't worry about it. Pathway Church has been on a journey since 1955. Now listen to the gift that God is going to give us. We've had some historic success. We've seen growth. We've seen hundreds of people worshiping on a Sunday. We've seen hundreds of people ministered to throughout the weeks. We've sent missionaries all over the world from Pathway Church. Churches have been started because they've partnered here on this campus. We launched a great ministry where we educate children with Christian education. We call it Gehenna Christian Academy. We've seen countless people saved. We've seen buildings built. I believe I'm the fourth lead pastor in our church's history. And then you know the story, there's some time that we hit a season of, I'll use the word decline, where we struggled with staff and congregation and money, finances, and even morale. Even our hope seemed to suffer, maybe even our effectiveness. But God has a gift that he's giving to our church. He's giving us a new beginning. But he's giving us a new beginning with the glorious benefits of the past. So we no longer have to look back or live in that past, but we get the joy of living from a new beginning. Now, sometimes churches start from scratch and they do that and they have a new beginning and it's great, but they don't have the success like a church like ours. Now, listen, we might have had decline for a period of time, but you know, that's just a period of time that's sandwiched in some great success before and after. So I think what we're learning here, what God is saying to us, is it's simply okay to live from the platform of a new beginning. We're not going to forget all the sacrifices that have been made. We're not going to overlook what's happened, but we are going to look forward. We are going to respond to what God is doing. So with all of that said and done, we've talked about this new strategy for ministry. I mean, the banner's on the wall: worship God, connect, grow, serve, go. We had a great compliment from our guest last week, Alton Garrison. He talked about our intentionality and our plans and our preparation and all the work that we've done. And he simply stated that if we decided to at the same time respond to God, that our church is going to flourish. And I believe that to be true. I believe that It's time. If you're taking notes, you can even write that down, that it's time. I believe it is time. It's time as a church that we receive the gift of new life, that we're beginning again, starting all over. It's time, and we need the freedom to think that way. It's time that as a church, we are no longer bound by looking back. It's time that as a church, we can now look forward toward the plans that God has for Pathway Church. As a church, it's time that we can reflect on the fond memory of the past, but not get stuck there, but we can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and what he's leading us to do. We are moving forward. Can I say it like this? We have survived the decline. Are you starting to catch that? We have survived the decline. We have experienced healing from the hurts of our past. Now, some of us are still accepting this healing, but it's time. If you haven't accepted the healing from the hurts, just accept it, because God wants us to move forward. It's kind of like this. He's taking his time with us to kind of get us all in, and I think it's time. It's ready. Like, we're going to stop focusing so much on that side of it, and we're going to start focusing on, let's walk ahead. Let's move forward. Let's respond. I don't want to get stuck in the wilderness. It's time that we can be aligned to fulfill our specific response as a church to the Great Commission. There's a statement that we have, if you would hit that next slide. This is why we exist as a church, and it's a response to the Great Commission, to equip everyday people to serve others and lead our community to passionately follow Jesus. I want to point out some things in there. First of all, it's all about helping people follow Jesus. Okay? The message goes to, do you see the word others? And who is the army rising up? Everyday people just like us. People that already know Christ. He's going to use everyday people, equip everyday people to serve others and lead our community to passionately follow Jesus. Now, we're going to accomplish this mission through a strategy. Like, we have an organized way to strategize. Now, I'm kind of summarizing here the past 6 weeks. Remember, one Sunday per point. This is the altar call. Acts chapter 2, they're going to put some verses on the screen. And in there, you see the words on this banner. And on the screen, underlined and in parentheses, is the word that it matches to that banner, to our strategy. Like, we're not creating this or making this up, but I'm going to read this with you. There's two slides to this to get all of these, so you can follow along as I read. This is, I believe, the New Living Translation. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. At the very bottom, under the next line, is the word go. I notice on the screen you can't see it all that clearly. That's that purpose, go. This is where we get our strategy from. Now, I want to tell you something. In this passage, we can hang our hat on a belief. And this kind of summarizes what we call the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. You know the Great Commission? Go into all the world and preach the good news, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. He promises to be with us. The Great Commandment is this: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's kind of all wrapped up in this passage here in Acts chapter 2. But there needs to be a movement from what we believe to how we behave. It's not just enough to believe the right things. We must be people that behave the right things. If we believe that we need to plant churches. You know, I would ask this question, how many of you think we should plant churches? And you could all agree we should plant churches. And I would say, you want to plant churches so that way people can meet Jesus. We want to plant churches so people can meet Jesus. So here's what that means. That means we would support the Ohio Ministry Network's church planting. We would give our time. We would volunteer. We would give our money. We would arrange our calendar to plant churches. Now, we might believe in our mind that's something we need to do, but do we behave like that's something we believe? Do we behave it? We might believe it, but do you behave it? Behaving is putting it into practice. It's action. It's doing it. It's not believing it. It's doing it. We're not a believement. We're a movement. Christianity is a movement. It's a following of Christ. It's not about just believing. It's about behaving. It's not just believing that all we do is centered on worshiping God, but it's modifying our behavior that everything we do will honor God. There's a verse in James chapter 1. Here's what it says. But do not just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. What that's saying is this: we could believe anything we want, but if we don't do what it says, we're faking ourselves out. You know, this is what I call James's four-finger advice. Do what it says. That's it. Do what it says. This strategy is not a man-made program. It's how we walk out God's word. That's why we do this. So fulfillment of God's design for Pathway Church. Here's what he's talked to us, and here's where you can start to write in some of the notes on that walk the walk. God has called us to worship, to be trained as an army of believers who operate like an interdependent family, who will promote the message of God's love. You can write in the word love. Who can promote the message of God's love. That's one of the things that we do in honoring God. The next thing here is to develop personal spiritual habits. Write in the word habits. That will align our behavior with God's word. One of the things that help us realize what God has for us is not how loud we shout on Sunday, but the habits that we develop the rest of the week. There's a friend of mine who was a youth pastor who fell morally. And I went over his house after he had lost everything, and probably about 2 weeks after the church found out of his moral failure. You know what he said to me? He said, I walked out for the first time in about a year and a half, sat on my porch, and I prayed. And I thought, my goodness, he has not prayed or called on God in a year and a half. It's no wonder the enemy was tricky enough to deceive him. We need habits in our life so we can pursue God. We hide his word in our heart to keep us from sin. Those habits matter. So worship, what about these habits? That means reading the Bible, praying, stewardship, sharing your faith, getting on a spiritual growth plan. The last thing on your notes here under we're called to worship is to collectively, as a church in unity, to collectively glorify God. That's why we're here, to collectively glorify God. You know, if we only did one thing on Sunday morning and we spent 60 minutes just giving glory to God, we will have served our purpose. We live our life for the glory of God. So God's called us to worship, and this entire strategy points toward the glory of our God. But God's also called us to connect, kind of drop into this next set of blanks. To develop, right in this word, relationships. To develop relationships with other believers who will help us grow in Christ. I don't want us to miss the fact that God wants us to do this together. Here's the next one. To connect newcomers. Right in the words, newcomers. To connect newcomers to friends at Pathway Church who will develop their relationships that foster a spiritual development. So we can live out our personal and collective purposes. That's why we connect. That's why that happens. That's why we do that. The next point, you can write this in your notes as well, that God has called us to grow. Here's what you can write: to provide a systematic and ongoing approach that fosters spiritual maturity. Ongoing. We need to not just have taken the class. We need to ongoingly develop our walk with the Lord. God has called us to serve. Okay? To align believers to serve each other and the lost according to their God-given gifts. Write in the word gifts. See, the goal is that we promote you to be fruitful in your ministry, to have some success, and to also have some fulfillment, to feel like I understand that I'm making a difference here. The last one here is that God has called us to go. It's to equip believers to share the message of God's love with others, His love with people in our family and friends, to share His love with our neighbors and our coworkers, to share His love with our community and the surrounding communities and really greater Columbus, our nation, and ultimately the world. So we say all of that, and again, I said this is kind of like a response. So there's a question to ask: how can I engage in this process? I'm going to step back for a moment. Okay, I'm going to step back. What God has been saying to us for the past 6 weeks is honor me in all that you do. Worship. Connect with other believers. Be together. When they were together in one place, what happened? The Holy Spirit was poured out on them. To grow, to develop a relationship with God and know Him more intimately today than you did yesterday. To serve, to help the body of Christ function and to serve those that don't know Christ. And ultimately to go, we are to carry the campaign of Christ and His love. So if that's the case, if that's how we respond to the Great Commission, the question is, how do I engage in this process? Let's turn that page over. And you can begin to look at some of this. And now this sheet is going to be for you. This is for you to keep. It's a help for you, okay? God has called us to these five things: to worship, connect, grow, serve, and go. If you want to connect, what we're doing is I'm going to give us one opportunity to respond in each of these areas. Now, you might respond in every area. You might respond in one area. What I want you to do is don't fool yourself. Respond in some area and be a doer of the word. Do what it says. So that worship has a blank. Maybe God's talked to you over the course of the past 6 weeks, or maybe today, and you can write that in. Or you could say, I would commit to a 9 o'clock Sunday morning prayer time. Now, listen, we normally have had 12 to 20 people. I think we had 16 or 17 today that come at 9 o'clock and pray. Last week was a very special week. We had, when we first started at 10 minutes after 9, we had about 60 people. And before it was done, we had right about 80 people that were in this room praying. And I thought, well, that's a special day. You give that effort. But I think every Sunday is that special day. I think it's important that as a church we call on God. For some of you, that resonates with you. I don't want anyone to feel guilty from me, but if the Holy Spirit touches your life and you hear that and you say, I need to make that investment, this is my church, I think that calling on God is partly my responsibility and I can do that at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, then check that box for yourself. Or maybe there's some other area of surrender in your life that you need to give up as an act of worship and surrender to God. Okay, so that's how you can respond to worship. You can write this down. It's for yourself. You can use this as a help. Another area is connect. The greatest opportunity we have for you to connect is through our connect groups that meet. Actually, we have groups that meet tonight. I think we have a connect group that meets on the first and third Thursday of each week. But the weeks 1 and 3 of the month are when we meet for our connect groups. And there's other small groups we have, but these connect groups are where we're really promoting to connect with one another and to have that biblical fellowship. And if you're not part of a group and you say, you know, that's what I'm missing that relationship, that partnership with other believers, that's what you want to check on that box. If there's something we haven't mentioned, you could say, I will, and you can fill in that blank. The grow area, I will add the spiritual discipline of, you can write in what that is, whether it's prayer, Bible reading, stewardship and giving, sharing your faith, whatever that discipline is. Or maybe you could scratch out the word, add a spiritual discipline and write strengthen, whatever that is. Or you can say, I will grow by, and you can write in how you will grow. Now, we will be offering some classes that help you develop your spiritual life. And if you think, you know, that's what I need is a class, write that in. I will grow by taking a class. Just write that in, and you can add that to your own spiritual growth plan. Okay? Two more here. Serve. On here, you're going to write that I am willing to serve, and you can even, you guys have this, right? You have all this on that second page. Pastor Kelly is helping us to fit people into their areas of ministry. And you can get a check-in. That's something that I want some help here. Now, you already may know your spiritual gift, and we'll talk about how to get you plugged in. But we actually have one of our team trained, designated, prepared, eager, wanting to serve you and partner with you to help you fit right where God's leading you to fit. So if you want to assess those gifts, you can check that box. The last one is go, and this is a big one, is our next, what I call go event, is an easy one for us because it's here. It's our Easter Fun Fest, the day before Easter. And we, not only do we want people to serve because we need people to serve, but it's an opportunity for you to go. That's what we want you to think in terms of. So you could check that box. Now listen, we actually handed out some flyers in some of the schools this week, and it's interesting. This is March 17th, right? Is that what it is? March 17th. Three people in our community that I don't know who they are have already registered for this Fun Fest online. It's pretty awesome. And so I'm excited about what God has in store for us. And I don't care if they're the only three people here. We're going to put on a top-notch event. And my prayer is maybe those three families will come to Jesus. Right? That's how we're going to pray. So this event, even though it's on our turf, it's a go event. Okay? Do you hear my heart? I've tried today. I can get pretty passionate. Sometimes I get going and I get passionate. I've tried to temper my communication today in a calm spirit because I don't want to talk you into anything. But what I want to do is treat you like I can't wait to treat my daughter next year when she turns 16 and we can hand her the keys to the car. Then we pray really hard to drive, go to the store and pick up a gallon of milk. And I take those keys and she's gonna have to get in the car and drive on her own. At some point, my wife is nervous. Now, just make sure you're paying attention. For some of you, you need the keys to the car handed to you. It's time to not let the pastor do all the work, or the board members do all the work, or that Sunday school teacher do all the work. It's time that you put your key in the car, you start that engine up, and you start going where God wants you to go. That's what I want to do, is position you to go. Everyone is important. There's a sheet of paper they're going to hand out to you right now. You can tuck that one in your book or Bible or whatever. It's called Walk the Walk Response. And on this, it's one side, not two sides. They're going to give you another page. It looks pretty similar to the one you have. So don't get confused. Hide that one. And this one is one that you can turn in to us. Basically, if you say, I want to share my commitment with you as a staff, or I want you to please support me in my commitment, then I want you to put your name and a way to contact you, and I want you to check what that is. And while you do that, they're going to hand that out. I want to tell you a story. Every one of you are important. Sometimes we see people on a platform ministry and we think those are the most important people. Sometimes we think of that person that taught that class for years and years and we think that's the most important, those are the most important people. Or we see people who are trained and they pray for each other at the altars and we think, oh, those are the most important people. Or you think, oh, they have a small group at their house, they must be the most important people. I want to tell you something. Even those parts of a body that seem weaker and even indispensable can be the very most important. How do I know that? Because that's what it says in the Bible. Every one of us are important. I'm going to tell you a story about somebody that was important that really got no glory. So if everyone has their sheet, we'll give you a second to fill that out. I want you to hear this story. There's a story about a fire. And there was a building that was on fire and they called the fire department to go respond to this fire. Well, the firemen got out and they heard that there were children inside the building. So the firemen said, we've got to get the children out no matter what. So they took this strategy, and one of the firemen tied a rope around his waist. Okay, you guys with me? They took a long rope and tied the rope around the fireman's waist. And they set up a code. They said, if I give one yank on the rope, I want you to give me more slack because I need slack to go in deeper. Okay? If I give two yanks on the rope, I want you to pull it snug. Don't pull me out or anything. Just pull it snug because I need it snug for a reason. Then the fireman said, if I give it three jerks, I'm gonna let go and I want you to pull me out because it's an emergency. Okay, they understand. One jerk, give me slack. Two pulls on the rope, make it tight. Three pulls on the rope, pull me out. So the fireman goes into the fire looking for the children. And he finds this one child that he couldn't really reach, and the child was unconscious. And he was worried that the child was going to die. So he gave it one yank and he gave him some slack and he went in a little deeper and he untied the rope from his own waist. He reached down to that child and he tied the rope around the child's waist. He gave the rope three tugs. Pull me out. So slowly they started to pull out what they thought was the fireman. And what they pulled out was a child. The fireman was still inside. A few minutes later, the fireman crawled out. Applause everywhere. The child's life was saved. They did an interview. They interviewed the fireman who tied up the child, and they interviewed the child and their family. You know who they did not interview? They did not interview the fireman that pulled the rope. But if there is nobody to pull the rope, there's no rescue. Some of you in this room are rope pullers. You're not the fireman that gets all the glory. You're not the one that's interviewed. You're not the one that everyone talks about. You're just on the other rope, on the end of the rope. And when there's a tug, you just do what you're supposed to do. And that's where the rescue comes in. I'm not here to drum up business. I don't get paid more money if more boxes get checked in here. It's really not about me at all. It's about positioning you to be everything God is calling you to be. Maybe you're just a rope puller. But we need rope pullers. We need people that when no one's looking, when it gets a little tough, you start pulling your weight. Because there's lives at stake. And we need you. We need you. You're important. For some of you, God's design in your life is to be like a rope puller. That's his whole design. You're not meant for the glory. You're meant just to do what he asks you to do. Firemen can give thanks to those rope pullers. He knows. He knows what it's like. He knew who the heroes were. Yeah, he sacrificed. He put his life at risk. But that boy never would have been saved if he never would have been pulled out. So I say all of that to say these little boxes might seem insignificant to you. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lost and dying world that if you don't do what God asks you to do, there will be people that will not be pulled out. When you pray, because we have a prayer meeting, I believe eternity can be changed for people. I believe that. When you come and you know, a couple weekends ago, there's six or eight people that helped paint and they were here late. And I believe, and you might think, what does paint do for eternity? It could do an awful lot because if it's part of the plan, it's part of the plan. There's a little bit of a makeover here. And I want to publicly thank the six or eight painters or whoever that was that painted because I believe it can make a difference. This is the house of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. We use this room to do many things. There's even basketball practice in here because it's also a school. But I want to tell you something. Do you notice the scoreboards are no longer in the corner? Do you notice that this thing is painted and it kind of all starts to match? Why is that? Because we're turning this into a sanctuary that doubles as a multi-purpose room. Why? It's the house of the Lord. And so are you. You are the house of the Lord. He's going to clean up our life. And we're just going to do what he's asked us to do. So I have not given you tons of new information today. I have not necessarily preached through a passage of the Bible. If this is your first time here, it might seem a little different, and the messages are probably a little different than what today is like. But this is a day of response for our church. And here's what I believe. It's a day where we can have the freedom to no longer have to look back. We do not have to be responsible to make sure that everyone has what they have coming to them, that they get what has coming to them. We don't have to look back any longer. We can look forward. Why? Because it's what God is doing. That's what God is doing here. I have to tell you, I am thoroughly excited about the future of Pathway Church. Do you realize how many people's lives are going to be changed because you check this little box and we partner with you? This is incredibly biblical. You know that God has called some to be pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers to equip people for the work of the ministry? And that's what we do here, to equip everyday people to serve God, to serve others, to lead our community to passionately follow Jesus. That's what we do. So as you look at this, the form that you're going to turn in, I'd like for you to check some of those boxes. At the bottom, it says other response. And I don't want to be presumptuous and say this is the only way you can respond to these. These are just some helps. At the bottom, if you think, you know what, there's something else that God's really putting on my heart, and I want to share that commitment with you, or I would like your support in this area, I want you to write that in the others area. And I'm going to ask that our ushers prepare. They're going to receive these forms from you. So just take a moment and fill this out. They're going to, in a moment, they're just going to walk to the front. You can pass them down and they'll receive them. So just wait patiently for a moment, I'll say to the ushers. And I want you to fill this out. There's really not a great need to turn this in if your name is not on it, because the whole point of this is to share your commitment with us and ask for your support, okay? So if you want to do that, just write your name in there. I have an email place and a phone place if you want the best place to contact you, and we will give our best effort to contact every one of you that turns one of these in. We sang this song today, there's an army rising up. This is what that song is all about. God's talking to us, and we are going to do what it says. We're going to do what the Word of God says. We're going to worship God in all that we do. We're going to connect with one another. Acts chapter 2 process. Grow, serve, and go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to fill this out, and I believe that it's going to, we're going to be unleashed to great things. So hopefully you fill that out. I'm going to ask that our ushers come to the front, and then we're going to pray, and then I'll let them go to collect these from you. And then after that, we'll dismiss you just here in a moment or two. Take a moment to fill those out. I'm going to tell you something. Before we pray, there's been times where we've gathered around these altars. Been very moving times. Times during worship where the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Times where a prophetic word has been given to our church. A message in another language and interpreted. Those things have happened. We've, in this room, we've seen people healed. I still am, one of the pastors on our team was healed of fibromyalgia. I mean, it's a pretty awesome thing. God is, we heard four stories today of an answered prayer. Listen, God's working. When we all face the same direction, remember that exercise? When we all turn and face the same direction and go when God says go, we're going to have a great release. That's what he's waiting on us to behave together. So I'm going to pray that what you fill out would release you to greater things. That's what the prayer is going to be. That box that you check will help you in every way we can, that you will be released to greater things. The best days for this church are not behind us. They're ahead of us. The best days are ahead of us. Lord, I pray right now for the congregation, the friends that are in this room. I know our congregation is wider than this and broader, but I pray in particular for those in the room right now. Lord, I don't know exactly what to expect on the response here of filling out these papers. I know some will choose not to fill it out. And I say to you, Lord, I pass no judgment on that action. But for those that are taking to heart this particular activity, you're using this piece of paper to do something supernatural. You're going to give the freedom for our pastors to equip people. You're going to bring people to new areas, new realms, new territory, just because they're sharing this commitment. This is an act of accountability, Lord, and I pray that you would encourage everyone that's filling this paper out to turn it in as an act of accountability. Yes, hold me accountable. Help me. Give me the tools. Lord, I thank you. We've talked about this last few weeks about praying that Isaiah prayer. Here I am, send me. Lord, let this submission of this paper be a behavior that's like Isaiah. Here I am, send me. I thank you that you're talking to our church. Now, as we document on this paper what you're saying to us, help it to come to fruition. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.